Hi, and welcome to a late night edition of Right on Rangers Live. Coming at you an hour or so after another one-run loss, the Rangers dropping Friday night's affair 4-3. And a similar story, a common theme in this Rangers season. We're going to explore it in all of the highlights, key moments, look through the box score, talk about the bright spots. I think there are a few in this one that we can point to. But first, before we get started here at Right on Rangers, y'all know we cover everything sports, but we put a big emphasis on all the teams we love from the great state of Texas, including the Rangers, and especially the Rangers during baseball season, rain or shine, win or loss. We're here bringing you our best post-game analysis, and we are going to try and put as many positive spins on some of these losses as we can. It's difficult with how the Rangers have come out in this homestand. I really did feel good. Rangers coming back home, got a nice win, a very nice win in Boston. You would think just logically Rangers would come back home with a little bit of momentum, especially after the way they won that game on Wednesday. Wyatt Langford, 3-run homer. Jonah Heim, 2-run bomb in the top of the 10th. But every time I feel like the Rangers should carry some momentum into the next game, it's never there. It's never there. Anytime the Rangers win a big one, you would just love to think this is the game, right? I mean, look, the Rangers, where they're at right now in the season, we're not even talking, you know, playoffs. This is the game where they become, you know, the real defending World Series champs, and they're going to go on this crazy run. We're not even talking about that. We're just talking about, hey, could this lead to a nice little stretch of winning baseball games? And the answer, by and large, this year has been no. The big wins, the epic walk-offs and extra innings wins, they really don't seem to mean that much to this team when you are looking at their next slate of games. Rangers win a big one in Boston, and then they come back home and just continue to stink it up. A place that they've actually played really well. We've talked about this over and over on the show. The Rangers are a good team at home, have been a good team at home all season long. I think at this point, they're starting to drop some games late, and that record is starting to even out quite a bit closer to 500. But there was a time, I think the Rangers were something like 30-24, six games over 500 at home. That's taking a hit right now. We're going to get into everything here in just a little bit. I really wish the Rangers would care to give Andrew Heaney a little bit more run support. I just continue to feel bad for that guy. Not saying Heaney was at his sharpest tonight either. We're going to break down his performance in a little bit, but let me get to some comments here. Baseball Network, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. Two-game losing streak, 11 games under 500 now. That's where we're at. And did Houston win yet again? I mean, looks like as I'm checking scores right now, and it's not to see how close we are. It's really just out of curiosity at this point. The White Sox actually beat the Astros today. The White Sox win in Houston. All right, that just made my night like a little bit better. Just a little bit, though. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like everything's all good. Made the night a little bit better. But nevertheless, Houston winning games when they need to right now. Rangers dropping a lot of games when they really need to be winning. Tristan, thanks for tuning in. Win or lose, go Rangers. Couldn't have said it better. We're not going anywhere here, right on Rangers. It'd be pretty easy. Look, after some of these losses, I've told y'all this. It'd be so easy for me to just not get on. In fact, that's how I feel on the inside, and I'm not looking for any pats on the back, but it's easy to be a fan, a fair weather fan, that team's losing and you don't watch any games and you don't waste your time. But that's not what we're doing here. We are here through thick and thin, through wins or losses, bringing you the best coverage we can post-game. So we'll keep taking your comments, throw some questions in there. Anything you want to talk about, get it in the chat, and we'll get to it. Let me go Aaron here on Facebook. Aaron says, keeping runners on base is killing us. We just cannot get that big hit. So frustrating. But Aaron points out the positive of the day, Astros lose against the worst team in baseball at home. Hey, the Rangers can't say that they did that. We swept the worst team in baseball at home, so it's the little things. Got to take solace somewhere in stretches of the season like this. But the big hit has eluded the Rangers. I've talked about that so much on the show. The Rangers just cannot get that big hit consistently. I mean, we say that they can't get the big hit. Clearly, Wyatt Langford, two outs, top of the ninth, Rangers down to their last out in Fenway, gets a huge hit. Jonah Heim comes up, top of the 10th on Wednesday, gets a huge hit. So they're capable, but the point has been the Rangers are too reliable on the big hit to score runs, first of all, and they don't get enough of them. They're not consistently getting the big hit. Not that you would expect a team to succeed more than fail when there's big hit opportunities there for you. Baseball is a game where you fail more than you succeed. A guy that fails 7 out of 10 times is a pretty good hitter in baseball. So we're not sitting here expecting the Rangers to just be mowing it down when they have every single big hit opportunity. It's just not going to happen. But it doesn't feel like it's even at a 3-for-10 clip when there's big hit moments. Feels like it's at about 1, maybe 1.5 if we're being generous. We're going to get to the bright spots. We're definitely going to talk those through, but I agree. And if you look at the runners left on base tonight, 7 runners left on base, 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. Rangers get a sac fly from Wyatt Langford, a home run from Marcus Semien. Got another RBI from Langford as well. Little 2-out RBI. That was good to see. So look, Wyatt Langford, a bright spot tonight. I think there's a couple other guys. Leody, nice night, 2-for-4. Good to see Simi driving the ball out of the ballpark. Seager, Josh Smith, going 0-for-6 collectively. That's not going to win you a lot of games when you're 2-and-3 are going 0-for. Dolly, 1-for-4. He keeps his little hitting streak going. Josh Young, 1-for-4. Rangers had a lot of hits today. I mean, they had 8 hits, out-hit the Twins. So the Rangers definitely were getting on base. Problem is, you're just not getting that big hit to knock them in when you really need it. Let me keep going here. Tristan feels good about tomorrow. Tomorrow will win. I'm glad you have some hope. Share that with some Rangers fans in Texas, across the country. Rangers fans need something to hope in right now. And these performances ain't it. These one-run losses where the team puts up a couple of runs at the beginning of the game and doesn't care to score again, it's hard. I think you could live with the Rangers losing 8-7. It's a back-and-forth game. But these 4-3, 3-2 losses, stuff that the Rangers have been doing all season, 4-2, 3-1, all these 2-and-1-run losses, it just doesn't leave a great feeling. Again, if the Rangers were losing 7-6, 9-8, 9-7, I feel maybe even a little bit better. I know that would mean that the pitching wasn't doing well, but at the same time, I think the offense has just been so bad, you'd almost take a little bit of subpar pitching just to see a little bit more offense. That's how I feel right now. It's like the pitching has actually been really, really solid tonight. Heaney, 4 1/3, 4 earned runs, only 6 base runners allowed, 8 Ks tonight for Heaney. I really felt like he threw the ball well. It just came down to one mistake. Andrew Heaney, 4-13 on the year. You just feel bad for that guy. Andrew Heaney is 4-13. You just can't make this up. 4.20 ERA, you should be better than 4-13. That is, at best, you're 1 or 2 games under 500. At worst, I should say, you're 1 or 2 under 500 with a 4.20 ERA. And at best, like some of the guys on the Red Sox and some of these other guys on winning teams, they've got an ERA close to 5 with a winning record. And I know pitching record isn't everything, but 4-13 for Andrew Heaney. Bullpen was great tonight. Maybe some of y'all are talking about that in the comments a little bit, but bullpen was great tonight. Festa, dude, is just dealing right now. 2 2/3, no hits. He hadn't given up a run in his past 3 performances, and that is, looks like, 5 1/3 innings. His last 5 1/3 has not given up a run or a hit or a walk in his last 5 1/3. So Matt Festa, 5 1/3 perfect innings in a row. How about that? You got to celebrate the little things. Matt Festa, 5 1/3 straight perfect innings. I'll take it. Bullpen was great tonight. Really was. Bullpen was phenomenal. Festa, Chafin came in, did walk one, but had an almost clean inning minus that one walk, struck out one. Garabito came in, gave us a solid frame in the top of the 9th inning. 2 Ks. Look, I mean, here's how I think about this, y'all. All these guys are pitching pretty much with a 1-run deficit. That is a game on the line, in my opinion. So I know it's easy to gloss over the bullpen because we lost and the bats sucked and we didn't get any runs when we really needed it. But when you consider that this bullpen pitched in a one-run deficit and we got essentially 4 2/3 innings from the bullpen, shutout baseball, no hits, and one walk. So the bullpen pitched the final 4 2/3 and gave up one base runner. For me, I just don't think that's any small thing. It's pretty incredible considering we really didn't throw our best today. I know maybe you throw Chafin in there. I think Chafin definitely is a guy that we would use in high leverage moments. But Garabito, Festa, those guys aren't high leverage guys at this point. So I was very impressed with the bullpen. We have just ragged on the inability of the Texas bullpen to hold some of these 1 and 2 run deficits, you know, when Robertson and Yates aren't coming on, because obviously we save those when we're in the lead or when we're tied. So we ragged on all season how the Rangers have got to find guys that can help keep us in the game. They did that tonight. The offense obviously didn't hold up their end of the bargain, but very, very impressive. Huge bright spot. And I hope that some of these guys out in the pen continue to pitch well. Could Festa pitch his way in to a bigger role next season? Perhaps. Chafin, obviously controllable for next year. I'm sure he's going to be around. Garabito, I'm sure, is a little bit of a question mark. But I got to say, Garabito, I think he has thrown more solid outings than not in his time up on the big league club. Yes, he's gotten hit around a little bit. I know in Boston and New York, he did get hit around. ERA on the year is 3.46, though. I think Garabito, in his 13 innings of work as a Ranger this season, has actually been pretty solid. He started a game for us. I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be able to pitch his way into any kind of significant role. It's not like the stuff is crazy overpowering or anything like that, but I like that the guy gets outs. That's not something that every Rangers pitcher can do out there in the bullpen. Let me keep going. Aaron saying the same thing, basically. Appreciate that backup. You beat me to it there. I'm just catching up on comments here, y'all. Let me see here. A lot of balls just didn't go quite far enough. Oh, Natalie, good stuff. At the game, sorry they didn't win for you. Been there, done that. Doley had a hit. I think that would have been a home run tonight in 20 out of 30 ballparks, I read. That's the difference in the ball game, really. I mean, there's other things that were the difference in the game tonight, clearly. But Doley did have a hit very, very deep. Would have been a homer in, I believe, over 20 of 30 major league parks. Come on, Globe Life Field. Get those dimensions right. Let's go. Taking away homers. I digress. But Doley did give a ride to that one, and I think he's been swinging the bat great of late. It's nice to see. What's sad about it, which I think I have to get over, guys, what's sad about Doley is it just took too long. It took too long, and I got to get over that and just enjoy the rest of his season. I hope that he continues on a positive trajectory, but it's just sad to me that it took this long for him to start hitting the ball well. And that is what several people that I really respect and enjoy listening to when it comes to Rangers baseball have said. I know Jared Sandler kind of said collectively that, you know, is the run going to come too late? Are the Rangers going to start piecing it together? Are there going to be certain guys that start piecing it together, but it's just going to be too late? And I do think with Doley and a couple other guys, that is going to be the case. We might see some great stretches from Jonah Heim, Doley, Nate Lowe, and whoever else you want to throw in there. But at this point, I do feel like it's too late. You would have to have an epic collapse from the Stros, from the Mariners, and the Rangers would have to get crazy hot. I just don't see it happening. Miracles can happen. There's definitely some things we can point to. Even as recently as 15 years ago, teams collapsing down the stretch and teams getting hot down the stretch. But I'm not holding my breath. Let me be pretty clear about that. Langford had a pretty nice game tonight. I do agree. Couple RBI. Had a sac fly. Productive outs. 1 for 3. We'll take it. Absolutely. Aaron says, I feel like they need to just get the small ball going and keep the lineup moving as much as you can. If they can't get the big hit, that at least puts them in front by 3. I have said this team needs to play better small ball. I think that they've got some guys that can. But I do believe the kind of players that they've invested in are big hit players. Adolis Garcia, Corey Seager, big hit players. Marcus Semien, I would say a big hit player. Semien is not really a small ball guy. Semien is a guy that has pop power, tries to drive the ball, pull it out of the ballpark. I don't think the Rangers have a lot of great small ball players on this team. I think there's a couple. I think they have a few player types like that, but by and large, you've seen them struggle. Like Leody could be a great small ball player, and he's had a really nice stretch of like 7-15 games here, hitting, I think, over 300 in his past seven. Leody could be a great small ball player. Travis Jankowski, a guy that's gotten, I think, a lot of chances this year, could be a great small ball player. But Travis has not had a good season. I really do wish that the Rangers could fall back more on getting the productive outs, playing the small ball. I just don't think that's how this team is built. You know, Josh Young, not a small ball player. Josh Young is a drive the ball. There's just not a lot of guys with that great bat control, can get a ground ball right side, right when they need to. There's a lot of guys in this Rangers lineup. I love them, but there's a lot of guys in this lineup that are just built for and are instructed to get the big hit. Not a lot of these hitters are instructed by this coaching staff to go up there trying to get productive outs. It's just not how this team was built. It's not the philosophy of the team and of the offense. And it's something that I would love to see change a little bit. I would love for the Rangers to have more of a balance, get some guys in the offseason that can play small ball, that are those hard-nosed players, great defenders, great back control, take pitches, take walks, right? Contact hitters when they need to be. I would love to see the Rangers go after more of that archetype. I think right now the Rangers have a lot of guys that are feast or famine, and it's a big reason why the Rangers are where they are. There's a lot of those. I feel like I keep saying that expression. There's a lot of reasons why the Rangers are where they are right now. We've talked about many of them over the past several days and weeks, but I do think the inability to do anything but get the big hit. I mean, the Rangers can get those singles, single, single, strikeout, fly out, pop out. Not fly out, pop up to the infield. That's kind of usually how it goes, is it not? So in the offseason, I would love to see the Rangers go get some players that know how to get on base, take walks, aren't so predicated on feast or famine, big hit, or whiff. Let me keep going. Aaron, what's up, man? Thanks for tuning in. If you're still watching, appreciate you, my guy. Yeah, late night, busy Friday for me today. Was in my feelings a little bit after tonight's loss, just... It's frustrating watching some of these games. I'm not asking for sympathy, but I know y'all know what I'm talking about. It's hard watching some of these games when the offense just does nothing, like inning after inning. It's rough. Trying to find the bright spots, feel like we're doing our best, but it's rough. But I appreciate y'all tuning in. Hey, that's what's up. You guys are the real ones. Tuning in, even after the losses, I appreciate you guys very much. Aaron says, I left after six innings, wasn't feeling the comeback tonight. Man, I don't know. One run game. I don't know if I would leave after six unless I had something better going on. So maybe that was the case for you, my friend. That'd be a tough one for me. I don't know if I'm leaving in a one run spot. That being said, I got to be honest with you, on TV, I was not feeling the comeback either. So I'll be totally transparent and honest. I'll tell y'all when I wasn't feeling it and they proved me wrong. And I will tell y'all when I felt it from the very beginning that it was going to happen. So, you know what? I was sitting at home tonight and didn't feel like the Rangers were going to get that comeback win tonight either. It was just a gut feeling. They proved me wrong before, but unfortunately, they did not tonight. Let me see. No, I didn't, Aaron. I didn't get those. I didn't really check my messages tonight. Like I said, had a lot going on this evening. But if you can post them in the live, I'd appreciate it. I can try and check them out on the fly here. It might just take me a second, but if you can post them, my friend, I would greatly appreciate that. Definitely. Who is the best team right now? Tough one. I would probably at this point lean towards one of the teams in the AL East, Baltimore, you know, maybe a Yankees team. I don't know. Dodgers are always going to be there, especially getting Mookie back. I would probably say Baltimore or Dodgers right now. If you had to pin me down, Baltimore or Dodgers, that's what I would say. Let me keep going. Who's the best player? Judge, or Ohtani. I'm going Judge or Ohtani. These aren't, you know, deep cuts or anything too, like, not terribly obvious. I mean, I think most people would agree. I think Judge, Ohtani, in terms of position players, Ohtani obviously a two-way guy, but recovering from Tommy John surgery, I think you got to go Judge Ohtani. Let me keep going here. Let me check out some box score stuff while we're going. And let me check TikTok out here. What's up to everybody watching, by the way? Appreciate all you guys. Let me see here if I got any good comments. World Series White Sox Rockies. And that's going to be like a pig's fly World Series for sure. Can't see either of those two teams getting back to the World Series anytime soon. All right. Let me keep going here on TikTok. Let me see what else we got here. Appreciate all y'all tuning in, by the way. Thank you so much. Not following the account, not subscribed to the channel, hit that follow or subscribe button. Stay up to date every time we go live, y'all. Appreciate you guys. Royals are going to win the Central. Royals are a good team. I think I've made it very clear. Bobby Witt, one of my favorite players. Absolutely. Bobby Witt, I would love to be a Texas Ranger. It feels right. It feels right. I'd love for them to make that move. It's not going to happen. But I would love for Bobby Witt to be on this Rangers team. Seegs can go play first base. That's the kind of player the Rangers need. I think Wyatt Langford might be in that vein one day. The speed, power, combo, just the intangibles. I'm not saying that Wyatt Langford is ever going to be as good as Bobby Witt. I hope he is. I think he's got a chance. But I would love to have Bobby Witt on the Rangers. Here's the stat that Aaron messaged me earlier that I didn't get to. Rangers have a 0.2 chance of making the playoffs. Hey, it's like I told y'all like last week when it was like 1.9. Yeah, so you're saying there's a chance. Dumb and Dumber classic line. That's what I will always say until that says 0.0. You're telling me there's a chance. Let's go. Hey, don't give up yet. That is still a chance, as minuscule as it is. That is still a chance. Hey, Astros go on a 10-game winning streak. We go on a 10-game losing streak. We go on a 10-game winning streak, and now we're in business. Super likely to happen too, right? Yeah, this Rangers team really inspires a lot of confidence that double-digit win streak is right on the horizon. Yeah, we love the Rangers, y'all. We're being hard on them tonight. We love the Rangers. Let's keep going. I really want to go through a few other key numbers here. So you look at the runners left in scoring position with two outs, Carson Kelly with two, Simeon with one, Leody had one, although Leody had a very good night. And you look at what the Twins did. Granted, the Twins didn't have a lot of scoring opportunities tonight. They had two opportunities with runners in scoring position. I think that's a testament to Andrew Heaney and the bullpen and how well they actually pitched tonight. And the Twins had two opportunities with runners in scoring position. I mean, just great pitching performances tonight. Rangers just have to find a way to get those two out hits more frequently. Feel like they've done it like a little bit more of late. I know Wyatt Langford had a nice little two-out RBI. So did Marcus. But you would like to see the Rangers get that hit with two outs in the clutch late in the ball game more consistently. We're very, very clear that Wyatt Langford had a huge two-out, three-run homer on Wednesday. So I'm very, very aware of that. But over the course of the season, it hasn't been there consistently, which is a great segue to something else that hasn't been there consistently, which I've harped on over the past week. The ever-elusive shutdown inning. Rangers go up 1-0. What do they do in the top of the third? Immediately give the lead back. And in the top of the third inning, you kind of look at the sequencing there for Andrew Heaney. Top of the third, leadoff home run, kind of immediate, kind of like scarily similar to what happened in the Bradford start. We go up 2-0. Very first guy comes up for Bradford in the top half, home run, right? It was a solo shot, so it was still a 2-1 game. But eerily similar how Jeffers comes up in the top of the third right after the Rangers go up 1-0. And ties the game immediately. I mean, that to me, it was just so frustrating because y'all know when I was watching that top of the third, I'm thinking, can they get the shutdown? Can they throw up a zero here and keep the momentum? And then literally, Jeffers comes up, 1-1 count, line drive home run. I mean, 107 off the bat. And you're just like, you got to be kidding me. The shutdown inning, guys, it's such a big recipe for success. Just watch tomorrow. Watch tomorrow with me. When the Rangers score tomorrow, and we are going to be confident in that the Rangers will score tomorrow, watch the next half inning carefully. See if the Rangers can get that shutdown inning with me. You know I'll be watching, and you know that I will be highly annoyed when a run is given up after the Rangers score in the very next stop half. Gio, what's up, my guy? Thanks for tuning in. Go Rangers. Gio says it feels like the Rangers always give up runs after scoring. Yep, absolutely. You beat me to it. They are always giving up runs after scoring. I'm still being lazy, and I haven't done my deep dive. Aaron, I know you're a busy man. If you want to help me tag team that one, I would love it. What is the percentage on the amount of success that the Rangers have had getting the shutdown inning over the course of this Major League Baseball season? What's the percentage? Is it 50-50? Do the Rangers get scored on after they score more frequently than a shutdown? That's what it feels like right now. It's probably like over 50%, I'm sure. But it feels like it is a very low percentage that the Rangers get that shutdown inning. It feels very high percentage that they give up a run, maybe not the lead, but they give up a run immediately after scoring themselves. That's what it feels like. Aaron says, despite losing a few one-run games, Rangers are 16-13 in one-run games. Great stat. Truth serum. Because I feel like the Rangers have lost a lot of these close-type games. So, little truth serum here. Rangers actually 16-13 in one-run games. Now, Aaron did a deep dive, probably about a month ago, if I'm not mistaken. Rangers have lost a lot of games by close margins. A lot of games. So, if it's not a one-run game, the Rangers have lost games by two runs, by three and four runs. They've lost a lot of close games. It's not a lot of blowout losses for this Rangers team. Occasionally it is, but absolutely the Rangers definitely have lost majority, I would say, somewhere between one and four. And maybe that's true for most teams. Maybe it is. Maybe we're making too big of a deal out of it. Again, I would have to look at the numbers, but it feels like so many of these losses this year have been within striking distance. You're not consistently getting beat by five, six, seven runs. You're consistently losing these close games. And you look back over the course of the season in September when you're missing out on the playoffs and you say to yourself, man, all of these one-run games we could have won, all these two-run games that we could have won. And the Rangers, I think, are definitely going to have those regrets at the end of this season. It's the same thing I would say. Like, y'all remember when we went to Colorado? That was way back at the beginning of the season. And did we lose? Did we get swept in Colorado? We lost two out of three for sure. But did we get swept in Colorado? I think we may have. And it was like, we're going to look back on this Colorado sweep and just be kicking ourselves. And that's a lot of games early for the Rangers this year. They lost a lot of the close one-run games. And you're just going to be kicking yourself when you're sitting at home on the couch because we dropped three games to the Rockies. We got swept by the Blue Jays. That's six games right there. So I think the Rangers will definitely have their regrets after the season's over. Baseball players are a very unique species. They can clear the mechanism and move on quickly. You've got to if you're a baseball player. And I feel like baseball fans have that within them too. I know that's how I am. It's probably why I can get on and do this with y'all every night without totally going crazy. It's just on to the next game. It's all you can do in the game of baseball. On to the next one. Right? It ready or not, it's there. Rangers got to play again tomorrow. On to the next one. So you know that there's going to be some regrets at the end of the year, but the Rangers will move on quickly, start focusing on 2025, and the season will be here before we know it. Y'all know how it goes. The offseason flies by. I sure do hope that the Rangers make some additions to the offense, retool a little bit out in the bullpen. That would be my wish list over the offseason, over November, December, January. I would love to see that. Don't know if it's going to happen. Don't know if the ownership is going to loosen the purse strings, but I would love for us to go reload the offense a little bit, go get some guys that know how to get on base, a little less reliant on the big hit, and then reload that bullpen, especially if you're not going to have Robertson or Yates back. I think that's a little bit of a question mark at this point. I think Robertson has expressed that he loves playing in Texas. I haven't heard much on Yates, but I think that the Rangers probably have a somewhat decent shot at retaining some of these guys, but I just don't know. And some of these guys are going to want to get paid. Like I said, with Andrew Heaney, unless he really wants to take a team-friendly deal, I think Andrew Heaney could probably go out and get a nice multi-year deal with somebody. I think somebody sees Andrew Heaney, and I think they say, this guy pitched really well this year. And you know what? Give him some more run support, and that record might be flipped. Andrew Heaney could be 13-4 this year, I think. And you consider how Heaney gutted out all of those starts early where the Rangers would put up like 0, 1, or 2 runs in like all of his first 10 starts. And I think you're really impressed even more with his ability to block everything out, knowing that I'm going out there and not going to get any run support, but still freaking dealing. I think some team is going to give him a few-year deal and probably pay him a decent annual average as well. I hope that we can keep Andrew, but I just don't know if it's in the cards with how this ownership has been a little unwilling to spend since the Bally deal kind of went through. Let me keep going. Okay, swept in Colorado. Unfortunately, I was right on that one. And no worries on the stats. If you got time tomorrow, my friend, great. Like I said, maybe I'll be able to get to it as well. We can compare notes, but appreciate you. Really appreciate you. Aaron, for any of y'all that have not been around or haven't watched the show, Aaron helps run a great group on Facebook and a bunch of other socials. They're on Instagram, TikTok, Texas Rangers fans only. Highly recommended. Great group of people talking Rangers baseball. They do a great job running the group. So, Aaron, appreciate you, my guy. Thank you. Let's go to a few others here. Will CYB resign? I saw kind of I forget who it was. I think it was Adam Morris. If you guys know Adam Morris, who writes about the Rangers. I'm blanking on what the name of his site is. So forgive me for that one. But Adam Morris threw out, like, basically, if the Rangers wouldn't have made the playoffs last year, which they were close, y'all, to not making the playoffs. It's just like a debatable point here. If the Rangers missed the playoffs last year, how hot would CYC be right now? If the Rangers had totally melted down, gotten swept in Seattle, and I believe last year, if they would have gotten swept in Seattle, Seattle would have actually gotten in over them. And the Rangers managed to win the second game of the series, I believe, on Friday night. And that's when they had the big champagne party and the Astros, you know, did their little thing. Bregman in the locker room, you know, they won the division, blah, blah, blah. You know how that all went. Yeah, that's all we need to say. You know how that one ended. But the Rangers, seriously, were a one game away from missing the playoffs, basically, last year. So would CYC be hot if the Rangers would have missed the playoffs last year and now missing the playoffs again this year? I'd probably say yeah. And it's kind of crazy how CY, the Rangers, they get into the playoffs by a narrow margin and they run it all the way to the World Series. And then obviously the next year, there's a lot less, I think, just Rangers Nation. You know, we're great fans. I'm not saying we're not, but this isn't Boston. This isn't New York with the media, the pressure, right? It's not a boiling pot in Arlington, Texas with the pressure to win. Now, the diehards, myself, a lot of y'all that are always joining me, which you know I appreciate, we wanted the Rangers to do everything possible to defend their World Series title this year, and it didn't work out. But I think CY's seat would be quite hot if they had missed the playoffs back-to-back years. And if you go back to kind of the fact that he was already sort of in the front office, even when Daniels was still technically the guy, I do think there's something to be said about that. Now, they did win the World Series. They did make the playoffs. So I don't think the seat is hot. And I do think CY is worth re-signing, as I think Bochy is worth re-signing. Again, who are you going to go get? That's my thing. Like, I'm a big in life philosophy. Grass is not always greener. Whether you're thinking about switching to a new job, moving to a new city, whatever the case may be. And I'm not saying that the grass can't be greener at times, but it's not always greener. I've experienced that multiple times in my life in a variety of ways. And I would just say, when it comes to the Rangers, general manager and manager of the ball club. Let's not have the grass is greener mentality. Do you really think we're going to get that much better of a manager than Bruce Bochy? For the people that don't like Bochy and want him gone, does anybody really think that? No. I mean, I don't know why you would. Bruce Bochy, top five manager of all time. And I think CY has done a nice job with the moves that he has made. There's been a few stinkers, just like every general manager. So that's another thing I don't get. You've got some people expecting CY to knock it out of the ballpark every time. It's not going to happen. You're going to have bad trades. You're going to have some bad ones in there. Even the best GMs in the game have had bad trades. So I really personally don't want to see the Rangers make any moves with either CY or Bruce Bochy. If those guys want to stay on and keep working for the Rangers, let them. It would have to get pretty bad for me to change my stance on that one. Press Play, what's up? Thanks for tuning in. I really couldn't disagree more. Andrew Heaney struck out 8 tonight, gave up 1 big hit. I wouldn't say he was all that hittable tonight. I mean, it definitely has been up and down at times this season, but Andrew Heaney's had a very solid season. Yeah, I mean, Andrew Heaney is going to get a big contract regardless. I think somebody's going to pay him. I do think he has actually had a solid season for what was expected of him. Like, so Press Play, did anybody expect Andrew Heaney to have a 350 ERA? I mean, this year, no. Andrew Heaney was expected to probably be around 450. I mean, when you have a fourth or fifth starter, you're hoping that they're under 5. I mean, realistically, of course you don't want that, but you look at the stats around the league, the averages, if you can get a fourth or fifth starter with a sub 4.5 ERA, you're going to take that. And that is what Andrew Heaney has provided, 100%. You know, I did very much say that sometimes change can be good. Sometimes it can be a positive thing, depends on the situation. But when I say that I'm not a big grass is greener guy, what I mean is I think long and hard before making a big change, and I would really be considering if I'm a Rangers fan and I don't want Bruce Bochy to be the manager, I don't want CY to be the general manager running the transactions of the team, who am I going to go get that's better? Who am I going to go out there and get that I actually have a realistic chance of getting that's better? So in the framework of that discussion, I guess what I'm needing to see is what's the better alternative to CY or to Bruce Bochy? I don't think there's a good one, but if you got a good suggestion or a good alternative, put it in the chat and let's talk about it. But I can't think of anybody out there right now that I would want running this team more than Bruce Bochy or Chris Young. But that's just me. We can agree to disagree. Let me keep rolling here, y'all. We've got a lot of good stuff in the chat tonight. Appreciate you guys. Tomorrow, let's go ahead and let's preview that matchup. I think we can call this one good. We talked through most of the box score, the high points, the positives for the Rangers. Looks like around the league, Seattle and Houston both lose. The Angels, what did they do tonight? The Angels looks like beat the Braves. Man, the Braves are reeling. My goodness. I mean, it's still a winning record, but Braves just feel like are fading fast at the end of this season. But the Angels managed to beat the Braves tonight 3-2. So Oakland, don't see what they did. Might have to go back and check this one out. Not sure what Oakland did tonight. But I will say most of the top of the division taking an L. It's unfortunate the Rangers can't take advantage, but that's been what's been happening. The one day that the Astros and the Mariners lose, both of them, we can't get a win. And that's just how it's been all season. Mariners lose to the Pirates 5-3. Paul Skeens got the win. He actually had lost 2 straight, so Skeens gets back on track. 7-2 with a 2.30 ERA. Trying to go get him that Cy Young, isn't he? Paul Skeens, great talent, man. Would love to have him in a Rangers uniform. Maybe that could be a possible benefit of us not making the playoffs this year. Maybe we can get a nice draft pick. I mean, not a Paul Skeens type. I think those are kind of once in a generation sometimes, but I would love to find as many positives as we can for the Rangers and what they have not been able to do in the win column this year. Other than that, though, looks like the A's were just like off tonight. On a Friday night, that seems weird, but I can't find the A's score anywhere. And it is late, but I'm not seeing it. So I guess they were off on a Friday night. Go figure, but it's the A's, so maybe I shouldn't be surprised. They scheduled that random, weird doubleheader when we went out to Oakland, what, back in May? Y'all remember that? They're weird out there. I have no idea why they're taking a bye day on a Friday night. But, hey, you do you. A's can just do them. But anyways, tomorrow, let's talk through the game. We've got, I think, a starter finally announced. Looks like Evo is going to be starting tomorrow. I did not expect that. He was not announced as of yesterday, but Evo going to be starting. I really wasn't counting on that. I really hope that they're not rushing him. I really hope they're not rushing him. I absolutely would love to see him finish the season strong, but I hope he's not coming back too quickly. Really, really hope that he is back to close to 100% and he's not going to be making anything worse. But glad that Evo is going to be around. Evo doesn't have a ton of numbers against the Twins. Jeffers is 1-for-2. Kepler is 3-for-10 with 2 bombs. So Kepler probably got to watch out for tomorrow. Margot, 2-for-7. Santana, 3-for-15. And then Vasquez, the catcher, 0-for-6. So nothing crazy. We've got on the other side another Festa. David Festa for the Twins is going to be pitching. And on the season, he's got a 5.20 ERA. He is in his rookie campaign here. Not sure. Is there a connection there, a relation to our Festa? I don't know. I'd have to look into that, I guess. Maybe Baseball Ref would say. But David Festa pitching for the Twins. Looks like the only guy with an AB against him is Carson Kelly. Kelly, 1-for-3 with a grand slam. There you go. So hopefully we get Kelly starting tomorrow, at least as a DH, maybe as a catcher. But I'd be throwing Kelly in the mix. 1-for-3 with a grand slam. We'll take that. So hopefully with our ace on the mound, Rangers can get back on track. That sure would be nice. I mean, we got to take a split here. Give the fans something. Got to win some games for the fans. It's been rough at times being a Rangers fan this year. We got to finish this season strong. I hope that's what they're saying in the clubhouse. I know it's easier said than done. Baseball's a tough sport, but they got to win some games here at the end for the fans. Give them something to look forward to in 2025. Let me keep going here. We have a few comments that I missed out on. Aaron, this is an interesting one. I think I vacillate on my opinion of the Astros front office. On one hand, you're right, they are in the playoffs. Now, that being said, I don't know how many of the moves they've made are really like the Astros' current front office, their pat on the back. I think that the former front office made a lot of great moves. I know that they've got some turnover. There's some different faces in the Astros' front office. I feel like the Astros have completely gutted their farm system. I don't think they really have much of a future in the farm right now. I mean, what they did have, they traded for Kikuchi, going for it this year. I don't look at the Astros as a World Series team right now, but I'm sure they'll be in the ALCS like usual. But I think the Astros are going to be window closed in a few years here. Altuve gets a little bit older. You've got some guys going to free agency. Maybe they'll pony up. Maybe they won't. So I have mixed feelings on the Astros front office. I think they've definitely sold out for the short term, and that's great. But are they going to need to do that full-on rebuild in 4 or 5 years' time? I think so. I really don't know who they have coming up in the farm that is going to really contribute for them. They don't have a lot of top 100s. I don't know if they have a lot of top 200s. So for me, I go back and forth on the Astros. I respect that they're able to make it to the playoffs as much as they are. I think a lot of that is guys like Altuve, like Bregman, that have been around for a long time. The Alvarez trade, that was a while ago as well. So I go back and forth. But for me, I like what we got. I do not want to see a lot of changes in the front office at this point. I would like to see the owners open up the wallet and pay some guys. But of course, it's not my money, so it's easy for me to say that. But I would love to see the ownership be willing to spend some money on some free agents this year. No doubt. No doubt. Jash Chisholm's going to be back in a week, huh? That is wild, because I thought he had a UCL injury. But look, for the sake of the game, I don't like guys being out, even if they're on teams that I don't like. Like, I'm not a Yankees fan, but I don't want to see Aaron Judge out for the season. It's just not fun. Just like, you know, last year when we played the Astros, I don't want to see Altuve out for the series, you know, Bregman out for the series. Maybe it's just the competitor in me, but I don't take a lot of joy and pride in that. Like, if it happens and we win, great. But I want to see guys on the field. I want to see the best players on the field, and I want to beat the best players. And I think a lot of competitors in this game feel the same way. Now, we're not shedding any tears when it happens. But at the same time, I like it when the best players are out there, whether they're on my favorite team or not. So I'm glad to hear Jazz not going to be out for long. Yeah, appreciate this. Grass is not always greener. Wouldn't want the previous manager going back. You're bringing up Ron Washington. Look, I love Wash. I love what he's trying to do with LA, turn them around. Of course, I loved him for what he did with the Rangers. I mean, I think if you had to go back to a guy, I probably wouldn't mind a guy like him, but I wouldn't pick Wash over Bochy. That's just me. I wouldn't pick Wash over Bochy. Give me Bochy all day long. Bochy has won 4 rings. And the dude is legit. Yes, he appears to have somewhat of an issue getting back to the playoffs after winning a World Series. But you know what? If the Rangers, like the Giants in the 2010s, are winning another World Series in the odd-numbered years, we'll take it. We'll take it. Something about the even years, I guess, with Boch, but we will 100% take it. Whatever. I'm not going to trade Boch, though, for really anybody at this point. I know that he's had some interesting moves this year. I haven't loved all of them. I've called Boch out for his decisions that I felt like are total head scratchers. What are you doing moments? But when you win a World Series and you've done it with the Giants and the Rangers and you've done it 4 times, I've got a lot of slack for guys like that. And I think most Rangers fans should too. Paul Skeens next start will be against the Rangers. So hopefully that will be something that a lot of people turn out to see. Pack the house. That'll be fun. It's a treat. I got to watch Paul Skeens in St. Louis in June. It's a treat. It's fun looking at the radar gun, 99, 100 every dang time. And it just looks effortless. And then he comes back with a 76-mile-an-hour off-speed pitch. I mean, the dude is filthy. It was fun watching him in St. Louis. And if you get a chance to go on the night when he starts, you 100% should. If you're available, free, you got the extra money to go to a game, do it. Paul Skeens is a treat to watch. I watched him pitch against the Redbirds. Pirates got a win late. Skeens took a no decision, but he had a perfect game through 5 innings, I want to say, against the Cardinals. On the game that I saw, he's a joy to watch pitch. If you just appreciate good pitching, go watch Paul Skeens on the night when he pitches against the Rangers. Hopefully, as Press Play is saying, though, and as Aaron has said, hopefully he's not going to be getting shut down. Hopefully he doesn't. I don't think he will. I think they'll make it to the Rangers series. That would be kind of weird if they just randomly shut him down right now in August. I could see a September shutdown. I don't know if they're going to do that. Aaron, is this Astros? Because last time I heard it was late, kind of like the late 20s, like 27th, 8th, 9th. It kind of depends on the website that you like for prospects and for farm system. But the Astros farm system is terrible. It's terrible. They have gutted the farm. And so I do feel like their window is probably 4 years at the max. Altuve getting older. Bregman getting a little bit older. Tucker free agency coming up. I'm sure they're going to try and re-sign him. Yordan. Contract going to be coming up within the next couple. Don't know how many guys the Astros are going to be able to keep or not. Depends on the ownership, what they're willing to pay. But if they can't get free agents to come, and if they can't re-sign some of the guys that are hitting free agency in the coming years, it could get ugly in Houston. And I know I'm biased as a Rangers fan, not really liking the Astros very much at all. But I do think when you look at the facts, which is 30th ranked farm system, aging stars. I know Kyle Tucker's still pretty young. Yordan, still pretty young. But Bregman, Altuve, I would say aging. Don't know if the Rangers are going to be trailing the Astros for much longer, especially when you get into the late 2020s. I think by 7-8, the Rangers are going to be surpassing the Astros unless they can get a mass influx of free agents to come to Houston. We'll see. We'll see what they can do. Let me go to more comments, and then we're going to start closing things up for the night, y'all. It is getting late, 12:30 Texas time. Here we go. Late night ride on Rangers. I love it. And I appreciate all y'all still tuning in. Y'all are great. I can't say that enough. I'm not just saying that. I really do mean it. Appreciate you guys so much. Let me see here. Natalie says, what positions do you want to fill on the offensive side? I think I've said I want us to look at an outfielder. I think we need to not rely on Adolis Garcia being the guy that he was in the 2023 September and October run. I think we've got to get another outfielder. You don't know if Evan Carter is going to be able to shake the injury bug. Back issues are tough. They are. Back issues can be fixed. They can be corrected, but they can linger. I'm not counting on Evan Carter to have an outstanding 2025. I hope he does. I'm cheering for him. I'm not counting on it if I'm CY. I'm not counting on Adolis to rebound and be a 270 or 260, 100-plus RBI guy. I'm not counting on that. Adolis is going to be, what, 32-3 next year? I mean, he's getting into the mid-30 stage of his career. I don't know if I'm counting on him bouncing back either. So I'm putting in insurance policies, and I want to get an outfielder that I can have in the starting rotation of outfielders and maybe do a little DH-ing if everybody's going solid. But I think the Rangers have to upgrade from Leody. I think they have to have a backup plan for Evan Carter and Adolis Garcia. So I need for the Rangers to go out and get an outfielder. That, I think, is priority number one in the offseason. I know that they drafted some outfielders. I don't expect those guys to come up next year in 25 and make a difference. I think we got to go out and get somebody. And we're going to do a deep dive, as I'm sure Aaron and a lot of other Texas Rangers enthusiasts are going to do in the offseason, and see who's available and what might be possible. I wouldn't put us in the running for maybe the big, big free agents that are going to be like 25, 30 million a year. There's a couple of them, but I think the Rangers need to go out and get somebody solid, a guy that can get on base. I would really hate for them to go out and get another Dolly type, if that makes sense. Just a guy that can hit homers or get the big hit every once in a while. I'd really like to see them go get a great defensive outfielder that has some speed, that can take walks, can hit and hit for contact, is good with the back control. I would love to see them go get a hitter of that nature and stop just collecting all of these guys that are so reliant on the big hit. We've got a few guys in the lineup that can spray the ball all over the place, but we've got, I feel like, a majority of guys that are very reliant on that big hit. So we'll see what happens, but I want to see outfield. I would like to see us definitely look at the catching position. I don't know if you're banking on a Heim rebound. Love Jonah Heim. Great glove back there. Carson Kelly's a rental. Do you re-sign Carson Kelly? We'll see what his experience is, but I would definitely be interested in a Carson Kelly re-signing. I've liked what I've seen from him. No, he's not blowing the doors off the place. But I would not mind at all seeing a Carson Kelly re-sign. If you can't get a Carson Kelly re-sign, I think you got to go out and get somebody that can hit at the catching position. You've got the defensive catcher in Heim. You've got that style on lock. Now you got to go and get the guy that can be more consistent offensively. I don't know who's going to be available next year for catchers. I'll do a deep dive on it. 100% will as the season comes closer to an end. But I'd like to see the catching position upgraded. And lastly, I would like to see them look at first base. The big signing would obviously be Pete Alonso. I think Pete Alonso is probably going to be out of the Rangers' range in terms of money. but I would love to see Pete Alonso in a Rangers uniform. Guy with power, plays a nice first base. I think that is a super obvious signing if the Rangers are willing to pay. Go get Pete Alonso. You can still use Nate Lowe. You can get rid of him if you want. But I like that at least you have the lefty-righty tandem. Maybe they're not going to want to carry Nate Lowe, and I would understand. It'd be sad to see Nate Lowe go. But I think there might be a way that you can keep him around, platoon him a little bit here and there, give Alonso a day at DH. Nate Lowe plays a gold glove first base. He can hit. He provides a lefty bat off the bench. I don't think you have to get rid of Nate Lowe, but I would love to see the Rangers go get Pete. I just don't know if they're going to be able to afford him, and I think there's going to be some teams that are going to be willing to shell out the big bucks for the polar bear, 100%. And I just don't know if the Rangers are going to be able to hang. Verdugo will definitely be available. Press play, thanks for that. I think he could be a guy that we go out and get, maybe are interested in. Now, you look at Alex Verdugo's stat line right now. Let's just go through it, see what kind of year he's having, because, guys, I've been pretty real with you. When it comes to other teams, I keep up with the highlights, but I'm not up on all the stats of all these guys on other teams around the league. Look, Verdugo, pretty bad season, I think, for the Yankees this year. OBP under 300. Look, Verdugo is a big name, I think. Of course, huge prospect coming up with LA back in the day. I mean, Verdugo was like the untouchable guy for the Dodgers for a long time. But Verdugo's had a bad year. 235 average, 294 OBP. This is the kind of guy that I don't want on the Rangers. So, look, I'm not getting on you, press play. I just, truth, serum, stats. I don't want a guy who's not getting on base at a 30% clip. 294 OBP, that's the exact opposite kind of guy that we want. But look, I'll admit, when I heard the name, I'm like, you know what, Verdugo? Okay. But as I look at the stats, he would have to have a pretty nice turnaround for me to feel better about him. They have the Rangers farm as 26th. Really? Really? Wow. I would not have predicted that. I would have thought the Rangers would have been a lot higher than that. So I don't know. I think the Jack Leiter not really looking as good as the first round pick that he was projected to be, the highly touted, you know, ace type. I think maybe that has caused the farm to take a hit. The Kumar Rocker injury. We talked about Brock Porter getting beat up a little bit in high A this year. Brock Porter's not having a great minor league season at this point. So I think when that draft happened, when we got Rocker and Leiter and Porter all within the first four rounds, I think that our farm system was looking really good. And I think that with those guys and the injuries and with Leiter, the ups and downs, and then with Porter getting beat around a little bit, I think that the system has probably taken a little bit of hit in the eyes of some of the pundits, but I feel like we have a pretty good farm. I know we traded away Acuna. I think that definitely was a loss. I think with Acuna, probably would have been ranked a little bit higher as well, but Acuna gets dealt in the Scherzer trade. That's one of the CY bad deals. I think we can firmly say that now. The Scherzer trade was not great for what you gave up in Acuna. Now, you got a World Series, so I think that we all can still be happy about the trade nonetheless, but I think if you're trying to just be objective and you're looking at a bigger picture, Max Scherzer didn't contribute a ton to our playoff or World Series run. He did pitch in the ALCS, did pitch in the World Series. So look, I don't think it's all for naught. I do think, you know, if you're just wanting a straight shot answer from me, I do feel like we gave up a little bit too much. But at that point, the deal looked good because you were getting an ace type for a playoff run, and it ultimately ended up resulting in a World Series. But I think a lot of people are going to see that Scherzer deal as a bad one. Let me keep going here. Let me see. Pete Alonso likely going to the Cubs if the Mets don't re-sign him. Yeah, I don't think the Rangers are front runners, but I do think that he is the exact type of player that we need. A guy that can hit for power, a right-handed bat. I would love to have a power bat at first base. I love Nate Lowe. He can be a good hitter. He's a gold glover. but I would love to have a consistent power bat, a guy that can hit 30 plus bombs. I would love to have that kind of bat in the offense from the first base position. 100%. Let me keep going here. I'm going to scroll through TikTok a little bit, see if I missed anything. We got some Mariners fans showing up. It's always fun. You never know who's going to drop in when you do these lives. It's always a good time. Oh, man, it's been fun hanging out, guys. Let me check Instagram. Nope, looks like we're all caught up. Hey, good stuff. Good stuff, y'all. We're going to be back tomorrow. We've got a game time of, oh, it's a night game tomorrow. Interesting. Night game tomorrow, 6:05 Texas time start. So 4:05 out here for me. So we will be going live probably about 8:30-ish. Maybe we'll go live during the game tomorrow since it's a little bit early evening for me here out in Vegas. So maybe we'll do 8th inning, 9th inning with you guys. If you want to come hang out, watch a little Rangers baseball with me. I'll bring you a little play-by-play. Try not to lag too far behind with streaming and cable. Sometimes we're all on different pages with the pitch and all that, with the pitch count and what's happening in the game. But it'll be fun. Come hang out. Watch the 8th and 9th inning with me. We'll try and get on tomorrow, maybe around 8th inning or so. If all else fails, after the game, as usual. But we're going to try to hop on 8th or 9th inning tomorrow for you guys. Hopefully, Evo will still be pitching in the 8th or the 9th. Complete game, shutout, perfect game, all that good stuff. And the Rangers can get a few runs pushed across and get back on a winning track. Man, I would love to see it. Well, all right, y'all. Hey, one quick thing. You know I always end with this. If you know somebody that loves the Rangers, that loves baseball, please tell them about the channel. Tell them about the account. Share one of my videos with them. I want to keep growing this good group of people we got talking Rangers baseball, talking baseball in general. You know how much I appreciate you guys. And we'll be back tomorrow bringing you outstanding post-game analysis here at Right on Rangers. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Friday night and a good weekend ahead if I don't see you. And I absolutely hope that if you don't catch us live, you can get us on the replay, Facebook, YouTube. If you ever miss a show, we are always posting our live videos on those platforms afterwards. So hope to see you tomorrow or on the replay. Have a great rest of the weekend. And as I always say to end every show,